Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com.
Five,
good.
Two, three, four, five.
Looks it's working.
Sean, technology.
Technology at its best.
Yeah, and you know what else is funny? Humans.
I thought you were going to say my face.
People are funny.
That's right.
People are funny. I think there's probably an interesting point to touch on here in that we as humans tend to rely on technology and forget that we are surrounded by other humans as well, and we need to remember that we're all together. Right, and
we need to remember too, because I'm in this mood today, that technology relies on humans.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we probably had the best Christmas ever, honestly, you know, because we did lose communication, right? And so we actually did have to sit face to face and look at each other and talk, and it really was good. I mean, we played board games, and I mean, we couldn't do anything. Again, we had no communication for 3 days.
And yet, you did a lot of things, right? You played board games and rediscover the things that you can do.
We sat by the fireplace. We were all, playing chess, playing different games, just talking. It was really nice.
Yeah, exactly. So clearly, hopefully folks recognize Marco and I's voice, but
I hope so.
They might hear a third voice, and clearly we have a guest on. That's Elliot Franklin. Elliot, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And this is part of our on-location, parentheses, virtual on-location, RSA Conference 365. We're media partners again this year. And there are a few interesting topics that we wanted to touch on. Elliot's session was one of them. And it's all about resiliency, crisis management, and sitting right in the center of all that is us, the human. You listening, the InfoSec professional / practitioner / leader. So we're going to figure out what that means and what Elliot's been doing. But before we get into that, Elliot, just a few words about your current role and maybe a brief view into how you landed where you are.
Yeah, thanks. You know, been in security a little over 15 years and IT over 20. And why not throw something else into the mix of 2020? I got my master's degree, but I also changed jobs. And so, I'm in my new role exactly a month and loving it. But prior to that, I mean, I've helped start and build security programs at I think in every industry: higher ed, healthcare, manufacturing, retail, hospitality, quick service restaurants. And so some say I'm a glutton for punishment, but I love coming in and building a program, you know, from scratch, or rebuilding a program, building a team. I'm huge on that. And I think that's kind of one of the things that led me to, you know, the human element track and kind of the presentations that I've been doing and giving.
That's, I think, is a perfect topic, because during this year talking about the beginning of the year, I feel like we kind of started 2020 all over again. It was kind of like that, oh my God, it's not over yet. But it has been a tough year, but also a year that tested a lot of things, a year that brought that digital acceleration because we had to do it no matter what. But we need to talk about what it did to us as human. I mean, we made a joke at the beginning, you know, business are made of human. Humans are the one that make technology. We're all into exactly square in the middle of this. So maybe the main point to just get started on why you choose to talk about what you're going to talk at during 365.
Yeah, you know, when I give presentations, I'm typically not the one to put, you know, a lot of, you know, the comedy or the memes or different things in there. But for this one, I felt I should. So for this one, I kind of went on a Dr. Seuss theme, you know, kind of just encouraging because, you know, I think everybody can understand him. But, you know, I've got a large family. You know, I've got six kids, and in thinking about the impact that them and their friends and just the, you know, being socially isolated and everything, has certainly taken its toll from the personal side. And I'm very introverted. So I'm not, you know, getting up in front of groups and things is not my thing that I really enjoy, but I really challenged myself to do that. And I see so many people hurting. And so just even pre COVID and pre 2020, just the security, you know, like you mentioned earlier, just wanting to put fires out, always firefighting and always in crisis mode. And a lot of that can go back to, do you have a plan? And so when you talk about resilience, a lot of that has to do with plan. And so personal planning for you and your family, as well as what is your business and your company's plan when it comes to technology and digital.
And I'd like, if you can, two things, because before we started recording, use an example of that. So at the grocery store. So I'd like you to share that with folks. But then also, I'd like you to share why you chose to tackle this topic for RSA conference as well.
Yeah, you know, trying to when the call went out for speakers, you know, I really had to think. There are so many great presentations on the technical side of the things and the hacking side and the, you know, vulnerability side. And those are areas that, you know, I understand and I usually have a team that helps me with, but I'm not super strong in those areas. So for me, that's why I really focused on the human element side. I think, you know, personal side, you know, I try to keep, you know, politics out of the job as much as possible and religion and different things. But, you know, my wife and I did, you know, have some counselor training and different things. And so understand how important the people aspect is. And so that's why, you know, when I was writing, you know, thinking of the title, we're all Zoomed to death, you know, or any virtual meeting, you know, not just Zoom, but you know, in 2020, it really caused us to, I think, look, take a step back and say, now that we're virtual all the time and we're not with someone else, I think it really elevated even for, especially for introverts like myself, realizing that we need people. I didn't really ever honestly think that, you know, come in the office, I sit there, you know, I have interactions, I go home and I'm fine. When you take that away from me and from everyone, I didn't realize how much we need that as humans. And so that's what really caused me to do this presentation.
And I guess the connection, it's maybe we don't talk about that enough, but it's pretty clear, right? I mean, I go back to we're the one in the middle of the technology, we're the one in the middle of the security. And shouldn't be a surprise that a lot of security issues are actually human related. It's social engineering. And if we're weak in that area, I mean, you can have as many firewall you want. We're missing the human firewall. So I think it's an extremely, extremely relevant topic, and we need to talk more about it. So you were mentioning that you have a few points, few tips that you're giving through the presentation. Of course, we don't want to give you away because we want people to actually watch your presentation, but maybe a couple of teasers.
Yeah, you know, some of the, you know, just talk about leadership tips, right? I think, you know, there's so many quotes that you hear about, you know, being the difference between being a manager and a leader. And, you know, we have to earn the trust of our employees and our team members, and we have to know their communication style. So I think a lot of the tips I give in the presentation are, you know, leadership tips that are good no matter what, but they're really good during a crisis. And, you know, taking care of yourself and what does that even mean? And, I, you know, before that, I was never really a big self-care person, But I come to realize it's extremely important to take care of yourself. You know, you've got to exercise, you've got to get sleep before you can start your day. Otherwise, you're just going to start it and go downhill from there instead of, you know, kind of go up. And so that's so important. And then planning and preparation. You know, we can't plan for everything. We shouldn't. But at least to have a basic plan, and that's a personal plan, you know, for you and your family in terms of just where you want to go and your goals and kind of, as well as your business. You know, you need to have a, you know, security plan, a business continuity plan. And just like you said, I mean, so many folks were not ready to work from home. So many folks were not ready to go digital in their companies, and or maybe they had a five-year plan that was accelerated and done overnight. And security is usually the last thing to happen when those crises come about. And so if you kind of got those relationships, it goes back to that human element and those relationships with the security team or the security leader and their business leaders. So that they are part of the plan instead of an afterthought. That helps so much in having those tabletop drills and just those things throughout the year to practice the plan is just so important.
Yeah, because I think when we, at least a lot of the conversations we've had and overheard, when we look at the human element, it's in the context of they're the weakest link and they're the ones clicking stuff and putting the company at risk. And that's the view of resiliency that a lot of organizations have. How come we can't keep our people from doing stupid things? And we forget that they as humans need to be healthy and happy and satisfied and driven and rested and all the other things that keep them resilient for all the other stuff they have to do.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, absolutely. You know, our team members, we are the weakest link. You're exactly right. And we can spend millions on all the security technologies. And obviously, every company continues to be in the news. But you're right. It's our job as security practitioners and security leaders to equip them. And it has to be done in an effective way. But communication, I do talk about that quite a bit. Communication as leaders is just so vital. And there's a couple of aspects to that. One is trust and being transparent and gaining the trust of your team members can certainly help. You know, why do I want to go through this security awareness training, or why do I, you know, they're just, like you said, they're tired. They're wanting to get their job done. They're clicking through stuff as quick as they can. They want to go home. They've got something going on with their kids or their family or something. They're not as focused. So that's where it brings everything back to, if we focus on them. And as much as they're willing to share, you know, I realize there's some things we can't cross with folks and how much they do or don't want to share about their personal lives. But I think right now, and I touch on this, you know, every presentation I give, I always talk, you know, give the suicide prevention hotline number and even the ability to text, you know, if you don't want to call. You know, I, you know, through all the pandemic, I've only known, you know, one or two people that have actually, you know, had COVID and they've recovered. But I know two people that have attempted suicide, and one was successful and one was not, thankfully. But you know, just to talk about, you know, did those, the one that was, he was, you know, still had his job, had not lost his job, was a higher up at a company. Nobody suspected it. So that goes back to the communication. Was anyone communicating with him on a personal level and really trying to drill into how they can help? You know, we can't save the world, but we, you know, at least in your circle of influence, it's so important to reach out. And again, this is hard for me. It's not who I am. I'm not a touchy-feely person, but I've come to realize that that is the most important part of any security program, any program, any leader is really knowing your team members.
Yeah, and those stories are sad and hopefully avoidable, right?
Right.
And it brings me back to this idea that we're in constant crisis mode. And it's just a matter of how hot is the fire that we're feeling at the moment. The fire is always there. And I'm wondering, is there a way to, do you touch on this? Is there a way to kind of put the fire out for some period of time where a crisis then really is a crisis and we have to deal with it, and we can live comfortably and work comfortably through the other times?
Yeah, and that's what I talk about is, you know, we have to be able, you talk about, a lot of people talk about the problem with security is we can't win, right? And you see the breaches in the news every day. And so some people, it's just doomsday, right? What other job do you have where you go in and you can tell your board, hey, we're going to get hacked under my watch and there's nothing we can do about it, but I'm going to hopefully be able to stop it quickly, stop the bleeding and minimize the damage. But that's where I say, let's shift that focus to resiliency, because, we can aim for resiliency. Because of that plan, you could take a punch and keep on rolling because, you've planned for it, and we can be resilient. But it's about our focus. If we say we want to win in security or we want to win in life, what's the definition of win? And I think that's you're exactly right. It's that focus. If our focus every day is firefighting because we don't have a plan, or our leadership team doesn't really know what we do and they just want to throw things at us, that causes a real challenge in that you don't have a focus then. And that takes a beating on you both personally. And then as your company, you're not going to be as good security wise if you don't have that plan and you don't have that support from your board and your leadership team of resilience. Our goal is to be resilient, and here's how we're going to lay that out. And we can't plan for every scenario, but we're going to take the top three and look at the different types of crises that there are. And I do talk about the three different types of crises that there are, and kind of how you can plan for each of those to be resilient.
So my question, it may be a little philosophical, but do we need to redefine not only security, but do we need to redefine the way that we look at humans and really accept the fact that it's almost like when you say, well, look, unhackable doesn't exist. We're going to be hacked. So we need to be ready for it. Maybe we need to have the same vision for human. Humans are hackable. Mind, there's a lot of things that drags us down, and there is the constant fire. But there is a lot of happiness. There is a lot of excitement. So are we expecting maybe too much from, we expect too much from cybersecurity, I think, and maybe we expect too much from human.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a great point. It is, that's one of the things I talk about as well, is make sure we're looking forward, not back. And that's just so not in a lot of our nature. It's not in mine. There is something good that can come out of every situation. And so bringing that up, we talk about celebrating and rewarding our teams. And if you're constantly firefighting, you're not going to have time to celebrate with your team that great, hey, what that last, phishing test we did, we got, only, 3% clicks. That's great. Our security awareness training is really working. How can we celebrate more? Oh, and by the way, how can we reward our team members that aren't even in IT or in security that performed well on that test? So much is just the beating down. Why'd you click on that? What were you thinking? Why'd you do that? Instead of the reward side. And so that's important. And again, it's just, I don't speak for myself. It's just not in my nature to want to always, hey, here's a gift card, or here's this or that, or to celebrate, because we're on to the next battle. We're on to the next fire. And so you're exactly right. We have to take the human element into our planning. So that needs to be part of our business, continuity plan. It should be the first part is our team members, our employees, and making sure they're cared for first before we worry about the business. And again, counterintuitive, maybe, or not, not where the money is being generated necessarily. But without the employees, where's the company?
Yeah. And then it's easy to look at cybersecurity and IT, obviously with technology first and wrapped in process to meet some objective, and very easy to lose the fact that there's a mind there and emotions. And I know you touched on emotions before we started recording, that emotions drive outcome. And so if all of your planning and your processes and technology selections and team management and leadership and all that, forget that your people have emotions, and that's really what's going to drive them. What happens?
Yeah, that's right. That goes back to the plan, right? If you're you're just getting ransomware just hit your company, really ask yourselves, what is the first thing you're going to do? Who is the first person you're going to call? Do you have a plan? And you're right. If we don't, those emotions, the sky's falling. Go and plug the server. Do this. Do that. And you're going to make these steps that are these things that are probably not going to help. Just like if you go in a grocery store and you don't have a list. or any store, and you don't know what you're there for. You're just going to browse in the aisles. You're going to spend way more money than you need to, and then you're going to get home with stuff, and it probably is going to go bad because you don't even know what you're going to use it for. And so, you know, you can't plan for everything, again, but having a basic plan is just so important. And, you know, I share some, you know, I know statistics, you can make them work however you want, but you know, I looked at a couple of different articles, and it's just, it's staggering to me that even in 2020, you know, last year, still over, you know, 70% of businesses don't even have a basic incident response plan. And so then look at yourself. You know, I share some personal stories there in the presentation as well about myself and in my family, and do we have an incident response plan? Really, you know, it was so silly when I was a kid. I remember them making us, you know, in elementary school, making us practice, you know, do you have a, throw your sheet out your window if your house is on fire and climb down? You know, do you have a plan? Do you know if your house is on fire, what you're going to do? But so many of us don't have that plan now for our family or our business. So, you know, talk about, again, just have a basic incident response plan. Without a plan, you're running on emotions, and that's not good, because when you get in that war room, you're going to start, you know, yelling or doing something with your peers, to try to solve the crisis. And that's certainly not going to help anything. And so, if you have a plan, it helps everyone kind of bring some of the emotion. Emotions are going to happen, but some of the emotions down, because we're just going through the checklist and we're looking through the plan that we have practiced every year and that we keep, you know, reviewing and changing. It is an investment, though. I mean, you know, creating a resiliency is certainly an investment. It's kind of like a form of insurance. It does take time, and it takes some folks to help you do it. But I think in the end, it's well worth it.
Yeah, and hopefully the plan accounts for emotions as well. Doesn't ignore them.
Right. Yeah.
And just say, I have this checklist, put your emotions aside.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as we are wrapping, and of course, we don't want to, I feel like we've said it a lot, and I think are all important topics, but we want our audience to tune in with 365 RSA Conference and listen to your presentation. But to close, I don't know, you mentioned that you pull in the game, Dr. Seuss. I'm actually quite a fan of him and his you know, way of looking at life and the quotes. So anything you want to use from him to close this conversation?
I like a lot of his quotes because they are so positive, right? I mean, just one of them that says, you know, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose, right? And I think as security practitioners and as people, as humans, I think a lot of time we look at other people and we think, you know, the sky is falling and there's just no hope, and there is, and that's where we need this community. That's why I like the RSA 365 community. We can reach out to folks and ask for help. We can have a virtual coffee if that's what we need to have, or whatever, just to help each other. We've all been through similar situations in life, whether it be at work or at home. And if we can share that with someone else, I think that's huge. So,
yeah. Well, Elliot, I want to thank you for taking the time to put that presentation together and to RSA Conference for giving you a platform to have that presentation and conversation and community engagement following it. And the session is Zooming Through Your Security Crisis, Are You Resentful or Resilient? And I would encourage our fellow humans, our fellow InfoSec professionals, to join Elliot with a hint of Dr. Seuss for that session on the 27th. And with that, Elliot, thanks again for joining us today. Marco, always.
Thank you.
Great conversation. Thank you, Elliot.
Devo unlocks the full value of machine data for the world's most instrumented enterprises. The Devo Data Analytics Platform addresses the explosion in volume of machine data and the crushing demands of algorithms and automation. Learn more at devo.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.